Blog Talk Radio.
Allah the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings. Welcome to tonight's presentation of Elevated Places. I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad, your guest host for this evening on this beautiful program and platform right here on Blog Talk Radio, created by our own sister student minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And what I would like to begin with is our condolences here at Elevated Places, along with the Nation of Islam and the family, and our prayers go out to the family of Brother Julius Muhammad of Muskegon Heights, who made his transition on December 19th. May Allah be pleased with our dear Brother Julius, and I pray that you all can hear me well. I wanted to get that out before in the news, but tonight our beautiful guest is stepping into the elevated places with master real estate and business developer Sajda Wendy Muhammad. Sister Sajda, among other things, is going to talk about the beautiful project, the Elijah Muhammad House Museum, and how we can support this historic renovation and restoration of the home of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Patriarch of the Nation of Islam. But first, a few minutes of In the News on Elevated Places, coming right out of the Final Call newspaper. Our cover story currently is Reflecting Jesus, the Revolutionary, by Student Minister Demetric Muhammad, author and researcher with the Nation of Islam Research Group. He is out of Muhammad Mosque number 55, and Brother Demetric writes about why we must understand Jesus the Christ and embody his spirit and work to be effective helpers for the redemption and healing of Black people and humanity. Also, add it up, taking bold action in the reparations fight for Black people. Brother Toure Muhammad, contributing writer out of Chicago, writes and highlights how, yes, it's true, some Black residents of Evanston, Illinois, an affluent small college town just north of Chicago, will receive city-funded reparations soon. Now, this is according to a city official. Now, what's interesting, everyone, is that across the country, in the West, what is real, the real deal about reparations, I'm blessed to have contributed a report about, would Black citizens in California received over $559 billion for reparations. Well, unlike in Chicago, those reports are false. And the story that I wrote about talks about, again, what is the actual fact and how did that number come about and what is California doing with regard to reparations? What are they looking at? Let me go on, to another one or two national headlines. Well, Keithsville, Louisiana is a flashpoint. The South across the country is getting hit with different weather, extreme weather, but in Louisiana, tornadoes strike the South, snowstorms and ice hit other parts of the country. And in Keithsville, again, Louisiana, it is said that a storm system that spawned dozens of reported tornadoes, dozens, everyone, from Texas to the Florida panhandle was all but done with the South on December 14th after killing at least three people and uprooting families across Louisiana. Some homes, it is said, were blown into pieces. That is all I'm going to do for In the News because we have so much with Sister Sasha Wendy to speak about. But we encourage you, subscribe to the Final Call newspaper, read the Final Call newspaper. You can check out some of these articles right now online. And above all, go through the entire section, the entire paper, as well as the COVID-19 U.S. policy agenda, the depopulation agenda within the special section dealing with COVID-19, not only the virus, but also the vaccine. So for In the News, that's it. I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad. I want to segue right now to Sister Sajda Wendy Muhammad. And so let's everyone take just a few moments to just let me tell you who we have here that we're getting ready to have a great Q&A with. Sajda Wendy Muhammad is a multi-million dollar business developer, thought leader, crisis manager, trainer, and she's an international entrepreneur. And I'll have to laugh with her when she comes into the broadcast because I was on Facebook Live earlier and I said billionaire, which that might be the case. But Sister Sajda is currently a member of the advisory board and former president of the Minimally Invasive Vascular Centers, where along with her business partner, she has worked to develop a scalable, progressive new business model for outpatient surgical centers and micro hospitals. Wow. The facilities are located in the metropolitan area of the District of Columbia. The team is working to expand into major markets throughout the U.S. and Africa. Their state-of-the-art facilities have revolutionized the delivery of sub-surgical specialty vascular community. She's a revolutionary. What can we say? Sister Sajda Wendy is also a healthcare developer. She offers her design and development services to aid healthcare professionals in transitioning from big box hospital systems to independently owned healthcare centers. Oh, this is, oh my God, right out of the desire and the aim of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So let's continue. Her turnkey services include location and build-out advisory and management, designing policies and procedures, patient selection processes, quarterly office review, and crisis management. Sister Wendy, oh, my God, I want you all to pay close attention to this. She is the creator and developer of the Mind of an Entrepreneur brand that currently executive produces and writes books, radio and television shows, and other projects on business development and mental strategies for navigating the world of business. So Sister Sajda Wendy has her podcast, which is on Roku, and it is Mind of an Entrepreneur, M-O-E, on Roku. Now just listen to some of her topics. The Art of Decision Making, Discovering How to Be Your Authentic Self, The Beauty of Perseverance, of Saying No, that's capitalized, Law of Growth, Stop Worrying, The Fear Factor, increasing your emotional intelligence, how to turn your drive into a calling, monetizing your authentic self. Sister Sajda Wendy Muhammad is focused on highlighting emerging new market leaders and industry disruptors with her television shows and podcasts. She also offers conscious entrepreneurs mental strategies for navigating the world of business and focuses on helping members of marginalized communities open the pathways to wealth and abundance through owning and operating businesses and introducing much-needed goods and services into their communities. All right. Look, the brand also executive produces and writes the Sajda Saturday Morning Coffee Talks. I love that name. The Mind of an Entrepreneur Show, MOE Today series on Black Muslim businesses, and more that can be found on the Sajda Wendy Muhammad YouTube channel. And again, the newly developed MOE Today Network TV. Oh, I love this. She is also an urban historic preservationist and is focused on preserving real estate that is significant to underserved communities. One of her new exciting ventures includes the development of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House Museum, a turn-of-the-century mansion that was once the former home of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now listed on the National Registry of Historic Places, a very key focus of tonight's presentation. We will get into the through lines, the interconnectedness, the unity of all of what I just said of our sister, which is just a fraction of who she is and what she does. And then some. We're going to talk about separation, economic development, and tie all of this into the spiritual. Dear beloved audience, let's step into the elevated places and welcome Sister Sajda Wendy Muhammad. Sister Sajda, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Thank you for having me. Thank you also, especially for your patience and to everyone, as I just explained and introduced who we have here tonight and on Elevated Places. And I'm, sister, the more I studied and learned about you, I just get excited each time I read those nuggets about what you do and what you offer. You know, I just Adana posted earlier, Elevated Places producer posted earlier in the week. She's so excited for the broadcast. I said, me too. I wasn't even spreading the, sharing the flyer because I was just really so excited. But thank you for being here. And, you know, what I love as we get into your presentation, and of course we'll be taking calls, I think, at the top of the hour, next hour, is one would have us to believe that you could only do one thing. You'll either be a millionaire or a prominent person or make your mark in life, but it's this one thing. But as I was reading, I was just getting so excited about your professional overview. That's just the professional overview, because as a multi-million-dollar business developer, it appears that this is just your passion. These are your callings. But you tell me, you know, your thoughts about what I said. And then please, let's begin with what you would like to begin sharing.
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, thank you so much. You know, sis, I always get embarrassed when people read my bio. It's so hard to sit through. And you mentioned about, that's okay, that's me, that's my own stuff. You mentioned about people thinking that a person can only do one thing. And that's a very limited way of thinking that was given to us by our conquerors and our slave masters. See, because when they took us from Africa and brought us here, they had to package us and label us so that as they sold us, people would know what they were buying. So they would say, okay, here's Sister Sajda. She's a good seamstress. Here's Sister Charlene, and she's good at doing whatever. So that they had to package us so that they could put a sales program, if you will, around us. And then when you roll that forward into our lives as corporate people or even as people, period, we then continue to package us ourselves so that people know how to buy us. So at a certain point in my life, I wanted to just step out of that. And it really started as early as college because I couldn't bear the thought of working in an office and going to the same desk every day doing the same thing over and over and over again. And the more that I was learning and studying and trying to do the will of Allah, I realized that that was a very restrictive place for me. Doesn't mean that it has to be for anybody else, but for me, it was. And so I chose fields of study like accounting and auditing, where I had to travel around, and then business consulting, you know, where I had to move around, because it just allowed me to explore more aspects of myself and not always try to fit myself into a box, you know, or into a package. And so just to really be a living human being and not someone that kind of dumbs myself down. So I make myself attractive to the buyer.
Wow. Thank you for that. I understand that. That resonates with me and also helps me to, just on a personal note, you know, accept my own and be myself, and live. I think that's a beautiful way to look at life and what you shared. What I would like to do is ask you, is purpose with this so that we could further lay a base of your presentation and for the Q&A tonight. Student Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad has always been, as you shared once recently, in that elevated space. Would you speak about that as we begin to delve into some of the themes for tonight?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Minister Ava, when I first came into the Nation of Islam, I'll tell the story to give some context. I was probably in the mosque a little less than a year. I came in at mosque number 74 in Indianapolis. And I have been introduced to two national laborers, Brother Wazir Muhammad, who at that time was a national accountant, may Allah be pleased with him, and Brother Kamal Muhammad, who at that time was the national secretary. And they were adamant about bringing me here to Chicago to help work, and that's exactly what happened. And so when I got here, looking at Sister Ava as a fellow professional, because of course there was Mother Tynetta who was here working around, who I was blessed to spend some very quality time with. But Ava was in the vein of the professional that I had strived to be. But she was always handling things, and when I saw her show later called Elevated Places, I said, that's her, because she always had the example. She was always conducting herself, from what I could see, in an elevated way, and so she was a goal. And I remember Sister Aletha and I, who worked very closely with me. Aletha was based out of the palace, and we were both vanguards and lieutenants and still remain really close friends to this day. We used to always talk about how Sister Ava was goals. You know how people look at somebody and go, goals, but she was that goal, that person who defended, you know, our leader and this person that we love in such an effective way. she was always, it almost seemed like everything she did was just so divine and on point, whether it was the study guide, she would write letters, mm-hmm. she would do presentations, and it was just always that. Her words were always from a, mm-hmm. an elevated space, and so she was really always somebody that, you know, we all looked up to as professional Muslim women developing ourselves and trying mm-hmm. to figure out our place as professional women, as professional Muslim women in this world. And mm-hmm. even down to the last time I saw her and she spoke to me, just the words that she always spoke were so right on point. And she would just, she knew how to get that divine message and answer it right away and stay right there.
That's
so
right.
I always see her as an elevated person and in that elevated place. And when you think about elevated places and you just think about, even if you just think about the people that are mentioned in the surah, right? Noah and Hud and Moses and Salih and Lot and all of them, Shu'ab, all of them sitting in elevated place and encouraging us to come with them onto that elevated space, that was our sister.
Mm-hmm.
It was just our sister.
Mm-hmm.
She just, it's, she's truly a star and such a beautiful person. But that's what she was to me. I wasn't close to her in that I didn't work with her and I don't know her cooking and we didn't hang out together. But she was just always at that person from the close distance that we just admired. And it was for many, many years.
Yes, ma'am. I bear witness, Sister Sasha. Thank you. You know, I've not had her cooking either, but, you know, we have, it's her, I bet she can cook. But the essence, right? I hear you speaking about the essence of her. And mm-hmm. I think even whether you wanted it or not, but you know, you were going to receive something from her, whether you knew it or not, is what I would rather say more appropriately.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about, you know, like the pattern after, so to speak, that's she and Mother Tainetta Muhammad at the time when I first became aware of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who made me aware of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, fixated on Mother Tainetta Muhammad and Minister Ava Muhammad, and also Sister Maria Farrakhan, as a matter of fact, because Sister Maria was so statuesque, and I would see her as the family would come out. I'm like, who is that? She's so beautiful.
Yes, all three
and
of them for me, too, and Sister Betsy Jean.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, as I began learning more as a processing sister, exactly, Sister Betsy Jean, and then more of the sisters were coming to light. However, Mother Tainetta and Minister Ava, because they were in the, if you will, public eye, at least my public eye, right? Because all of us see differently, but in my realm, I just heard them. I listened to this brother called Michael Mixon Moore in Los Angeles. And it's funny because when we would be, out in the world, when we would go out to parties and one favorite club that we had where all the bouncers were very nice to us. It was like brothers protected us and different things. But the conversation, you know, we would play darts and have conversation with some of our friends who loved Minister Farrakhan. And so they introduced us more and more to Minister Farrakhan and would be saying he's going to speak here, this is going to happen there. And so through them, I would get tapes and lectures, and there was Mother Tainetta and Minister Ava with music mixed to them. And I was just saying, who are these women? I've never heard women talk like this. And so, of course, that was Minister Farrakhan's students and followers, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's students and followers. But I said that to say, I want to be like them. You know, to your point, I just wanted to find them. Like, who's teaching them, and can he teach me? So anyway, but it's not about Charlene tonight. we have you as our guest.
No, those are wonderful stories. It's wonderful. I'll tell you something about Sister Betsy Jean, Sister Captain Betsy Jean. When I first, when I started going, when I went back into the corporate world as a business consultant, you know, and I had to figure out who I was, right? And I would always model myself after Sister Betsy Jean because she was always so statuesque. She would look you right in your eye. She was very firm. She was very smart. But then there was that air of spirituality and love and direction. And so when I would go into those meetings and start and have to negotiate, I would pretend like I was DJ. Even to this, and I'll show you something else. Even when we opened the micro hospital in Maryland, when we would go into MGT class, Sister Betsy Jean would be standing there greeting us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. She'd have her arms behind her back. And so I created a position in the hospital that would sit there and stand there and greet people just like Sister Captain Betsy Jean did us in MGT class. Welcome to the Minimally Invasive Vascular Center, and direct people as to where they were. I called them the patient liaison.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful, you see, and so thus we see why you're a multimillionaire. It's the proper handling of people, right? And we have them and their sacrifice and love and, look, deep femininity and not compromising who they are and what they are to exist in what James Brown would say is a man's world. Because we know, but thank you for sharing that. You know, people want to know that you care. You know, you're just not there to get their money, you know, that and you're in healthcare, that you were there to serve them. But thanks for sharing that. You know, I actually, at my first address with Minister Farrakhan to actually go live was Stop the Killing at the LA Coliseum. And I heard Brother Michael Mixon Moore, who mixed all of the different lectures, and Dr. Khaled Muhammad, Dr. Abdul Khaled Muhammad, and others. He announced it one day. He was at KCRW, a public radio in L.A., and he announced that Minister Farrakhan was going to be speaking at the L.A. Coliseum. And I said, this is my chance. I am going. And that night I went back, and I don't even remember how long the page number was of the letter, but I just wrote and wrote and wrote how he was a part, Brother Michael Mixon Moore, of helping to save my life and thanking him for doing that. And by the way, may Allah be pleased with him. He has since made his transition, but it was life-changing. I went to the mosque and I've never looked back, except to tell this story. But at any rate, thank you. So trailblazing, you know, and Minister Ava Muhammad being in the line of the divine, you know, all of these things, your businesses, your ventures, your entertainment projects, if you will, that's a small word, but accomplishments, you know, all come under entrepreneurism and economic development. And so talk about how, you know, what made you, first and foremost, let's start with, and I'm not going in order as I read with your professional career, but what made you push to renovate the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's home?
Well, I can't take credit for that, sis. That was and is all Allah. It's the three of them. And it's not something that I set out to do. It wasn't something that I intended to do. But I believe through their grace and mercy that it was something that I was prepared to do. And so when I found out that the home was for sale, I knew that there were members of the family that had been trying to get the home. And I I mean, I don't want to sound careless, but I was like, okay, I didn't really care. I was okay. I was like, okay.
You know, and
I didn't even, I really didn't. I was working on a project where I was going to be going in going to Africa to do some hospital development, and that is where my focus was and had been that way all summer. And this was shortly after Brother Lewis Jr.'s janaza, may Allah be pleased with him, who his wife, Lisa, he and his wife, Lisa, they gave me my first office, by the way.
Thank you to Allah.
Yeah, so I just didn't really care that much. And then one day when I came into my office and I saw a pop-up from foreclosure.com, and on the pop-up, because I subscribe as a real estate developer, I subscribe to a lot of different auction services and, you know, foreclosure services, because you're always trying to get property at less than retail, right? And so you sign up for these alerts. You put in a zip code that you're interested in, and then they send you these alerts. And so when I sat down and turned on my computer, a pop-up was in the right-hand corner, lower right-hand corner of my computer. It said 4847 South Woodlawn Avenue. And I just stared at it.
No way. No way. Wow.
And I thought about it. And I said, do I just close the computer and shut it down and say that ain't got nothing to do with me?
I'd open it up and see if it's still there. Peeking
I open it up and see if it's real. You know, all these things were going through me. I started making phone calls to find out what was going on. And I guess Allah was not pleased with my pace and how I was moving, because I was sitting there at my desk and contemplating all this. And my business partner at the time, who's a surgeon, he came to the door of my office and he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, nothing. Like really kind of like go away, like nothing, because I'm trying to think about something. And he came in the office and came around to the back of my desk, which he never does. He just comes in, he'll sit on the other side of my desk, but never to come around to the other side and look at what I'm actually looking at on the computer. And he's like, push the button, click it. And I was like, I said, you don't understand. I said, let me just figure this out. And he's like, he walked out, he said, whatever, y'all going to be driving past that house and say, that used to be the messenger's house. I said, thank you, sir. So after I made the phone calls, I clicked it, I checked, and I said, maybe they made a mistake. And he kept coming back in there saying, I don't think it's a mistake. Them people don't make mistakes like that. They wouldn't have it up there. He just kept ranting. And so finally I called my brother, and I said, can you do me a favor? And he was like, yeah. I said, can you call this number and just find out if this house is available? I said, I don't think I'll be able to do anything about it because I have to be in Africa in 9 days. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, some other people got it. So when my brother called, they gave him some words that he wasn't so happy about. And he called me back and he said, no, it's for real. It's going up, and it's going up for auction. And by this time, my stomach is hurting. My head is buzzing.
Wow.
My business partner is getting on my nerves because he keeps saying something to me about it. So I left the office early. And I'm one of these persons, I talk to Allah, I pose questions, and I said, what am I feeling? I said, and so I just, no answer came. So I went home and I took a Tylenol and just laid across the bed. And then later that night, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad appeared to me in my room. And he didn't say anything. There were no words. I looked at him, he looked at me, and as I swung my legs around and sat up, he went away. And I took a deep breath and I said, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this. And so that's you know, kind of how it happened. And then we had to race to figure out how to do it. There wasn't time to get a loan. We had to hurry up and, you know, pay for it. We had to pay I had to pay cash for it. And then since I had to be in Africa, I then had to trust Allah because, you know, I love my brother very much, but things have happened. I had to give him power of attorney and make sure he had access to the money so he could come to Chicago from California and close on the house for me. And I had been in Africa about a day and a half, and he called and he said, well, sis, you got it. It sure is big. It's real messed up. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but you got it.
Wow.
And that's kind of how it happened. And then I just started from that point just practicing the art of trying to listen to Allah, because this is his. This is his. I can't take credit for it. And then as time went on, I start to realize that, and through some conversations that I was blessed to have with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I knew that it was something that I had been prepared to do. So I can't take credit for it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for such a beautiful insight and sharing that with us.
Yes.
Wow. A follow-up is, can you elaborate or would you elaborate on, you know, some of the, I'll use the word resistance or maybe hesitancy.
Hesitancy that I have?
Mm-hmm, that you had.
I think the hesitancy was because my life was already going in what I thought was another direction. There were plans. I was down the road with those plans. But, of course, Allah is the best of planners, and he was planning. He was probably just like, look, girl, I just got you doing this so you can learn. I don't know. And so I just didn't.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. It wasn't a resistance like, no, absolutely not. But it just was, I just didn't see it as something that I was going to be doing. And then once I stepped into it, I realized that it is absolutely the right thing that I should be doing.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for your answer. You know, and I switched the word from resistance to hesitancy, and I think maybe could have been reluctance, because it was not like, oh, no. Like, you really didn't close down the laptop and move out. But that short amount of time frame.
Yeah, because it's big.
Yeah, trepidation. Great.
No,
there we go.
This is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, the Mahdi. This is the man that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has spent his entire life telling the world about. So this is, it's big, you know, and so we talk about stepping into elevated places. It's big. And so it's not something that I wanted to just say, oh yeah, I'll do it. I got this. It's the man. It's who he represents, Master Fadhil Muhammad, Allah himself.
Yes, yes.
It means, you know, we all say we follow them. They're walking through the volume of the book. So it means stepping into the book and walking with them.
Ooh.
It means letting a part of myself die that I thought needed to live.
Right.
It means morphing into what he wants, not just in terms of the house, but just in terms of everything else that goes into the making of this particular house museum. So it's big. And then, you know, it's just the nervousness of being able to do it, you know, and all the believers looking at you and what are they going to say? And You know, there's controversy. There's people who believe he's alive and people who believe that he's not. And there's people who say, don't call him the messenger. I mean, this is big. So it's not something that you just go, yeah, I'll do it. I got it.
Like, I got this. Yes, thank you for this, God. I understand. This is, thank you. That's really so beautiful and key. Look, I have a question about the coin, but I just want to put a, I guess, a mid-claimer right here, not a disclaimer, and say I've been so excited and am so excited. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so joyous. I'm so grateful to Allah God. You know, I have this hat on as a student right now, but I also have the guest host hat on, and I'm like, oh, that's right. I need to flow with the show, but just thank you. You know, I just feel a presence here. But sister, tell us about the Elijah coin. What brought forth the idea for the coin and how people may obtain it?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for asking that question. These little coins are my pride and joy. I just love them so much, primarily because of how they came about. I was blessed to be on a call with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he said something to me that many have heard him say in public, that one day he was at the home with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as he walked down the driveway, the messenger pointed to a tree, and he said, once they find out who I am, they will rip the bark off the trees. And I thought about that, and I said, well, if we claim to know who he is, then what that brought into me, and I don't know if this is what the minister meant, but this is by saying this to me, but what it inspired in me is that his energy is all throughout that house, and at one point just constantly radiated through every piece of material in that house, the wood, the limestone, the marble, the copper. So his vibration has impacted every material on that house. And so as we started to take down different pieces of the house that we couldn't use because it's 120 years old. So we had wood and mantles that were 120 years old. And I said, well, let's make this a repurposing project as well. So we will figure out, what do we do with this mirror that we can't use anymore? Okay, let's make a table out of it. Let's make a mural out of this. And so with the copper on the outside, as we were taking it down, just trying to figure out what to do with it. And the inspiration came, you know, just through conversations and talking to people to make coins out of them. And the interesting thing was, it then took me 3 months to find someone who would do it, because just about all of the foundries I called said to me, of course, we'll make you a coin, but we're not about to take that 120-year-old coin, that 120-year-old copper, and have you ship all that here, and then we're going to use our own copper. But I wanted to use the copper from the building, and I found one person, and she said to me, she said, I've never done this before, but I will help you. And so we then had to clean the copper. We had to cut it. We had to bind it. We took it to the foundry the first time. We actually took it there. They inspected it. They then smelted it down at 1,983 degrees Fahrenheit. We created the coin mold. I called Brother Tori one day, and I said, Brother Tori, I finally found somebody, but she needs the design today, because whoever she needed to show it to was going on vacation. And I know he probably was like, what? I said, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want on it. And so I just started, you know, telling him, I want the messenger's face. I want some stars. I want, you know, I want it to look like this or that. And, And so God bless him because he came back with a design, and then we couldn't figure out what to do with the back. And there was inspiration to put the house on the back, and then the Holy Quran and the wording. So finally we got the design to her, and she created the first sample. And when she sent me back the sample, I just cried because it was so powerful. And at the same time, you had copper becoming one of the most precious commodities with all the electric cars and all the batteries that we use. And you have people like advisors from Goldman Sachs saying, copper is the new oil. Copper is the new gold. So copper is the way to go. And so when I think about the inspiration to take the copper and create a coin and the value that is now being attached to copper because of its many uses, and us moving into this phase of, you know, economic independence and separation and development, and we have this coin, I just see Allah's hand all over it. And so what we have is two different, they're the same coins, but they're styled in two different ways. One is a graded coin, and that came about because I was trying to figure out how to package it, and I had designed a really beautiful packaging, and I took it to prayer, and I asked Allah, I said, if you like this, let me know, make it clear, make it plain, and I said, and dear Holy Apostle, if you don't like it, then just make it plain, let me know. And that next morning, my manufacturer in China had hiked the price up to like $20-some for the satin box, some ridiculous amount, and it was going to take them all this time, 90 days or something. Basically, they threw a monkey wrench in the plan. And so when the foundry called me a little later that afternoon, she said, well, do you want them graded? And I said, well, what is graded? So she started explaining to me what the independent coin graders were. And she said, but generally they don't grade coins that are not minted by a government. She said, but they've agreed to do yours. And I said, okay, y'all made it plain. And so we got the first ones graded. They are graded. They have their own barcode on the back. And this is just the type of grading that independent coin collectors use. It'll make this coin 100 years from now even more valuable. And then we have the coin pendants, which we don't have very many of those left. We didn't make a lot of those in the beginning. But some people said, I would love to make a necklace out of it, and I want to bling it out. And so we just decided to make a few of them. I actually think it was the Supreme Captain's idea. So we decided to make a few of them. And so those you've been seeing us sell. And she had a little copper left over, and so we made a few others. And so that's what you see out here. So both coins you can get. The proceeds from the purchase of the coin go towards completing the renovation, which we're very close. The finish line is in sight. And so we just ask that everybody just goes out, get the coin. They make great gifts, and they're collectible. And so you can go to sajdahouse.com to get the coin.
Yes. And you can see them there. They're so beautiful. I could see the emotion that came over you. They are so absolutely beautiful. You know, Sister Sasha, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for accepting the challenge, you know. We're going to take your calls in a few minutes, and we want to invite you to get in the queue, 563-999-3065, 563-999-3065. Step into the elevated places with Sister Sasha Wendy Muhammad. How has the journey been with renovating, building the home?
The journey has been, and I'm not saying this just because, but the journey has been magical. I now live in a metaphysical world.
Oh, wait.
Okay,
you better say that. Are you aware that you don't do? Because we have this. Right? Come on, sister. Teach.
You know, I used to just be able to go and get in my car and go do what I had to do and just, you know, be normal, go shopping, but something is always happening. A lot is always showing up. And so now I just say, there you are. Okay. always something. It's always something. Just so I'm learning to live and be with that. Which also is, you know, it's a lifestyle adjustment. I don't know, you know, if it's going to continue with the house being over, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just, you know, allowing it along the way. A lot of people around me, it begins to impact them too. We have some of our workers who will tell you if they were on this call right now that they have seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. One worker in particular, he was so cute. He came to me and was telling me that the messenger was playing tricks on him and I smiled and he thought that I was laughing at him. And so I said, I'm not laughing. And he's like, it's no funny, Miss Wendy. I said, I'm not laughing. I'm just smiling. So that's what it's been like. It's been very magical. It's been a lot of work to make sure that I am the person to be able to make certain things happen. And so that means adjusting, you know, aspects of who I think I am and who I think I want to be and where I think I want to go, just making those types of adjustments and tweaks and really trying very hard to be very interpersonal with Allah and the messenger and of course the minister and just trying to stay in, you know, in communication. You know, whether it's just asking questions and posing the right questions and what's next and when is it time to be quiet and when is it time to talk and just trying to listen and hear all of that.
Yes, yes. And as you said, you're becoming and comfortable with that because that's amazing. That's beautiful, sister. Thank you. And speaking of, you know, metaphysical, Minister Ava talked often about her love and also of that. As well as her father's scientific background. Talk about, connect the dots with us for, as we said earlier, and, you know, the through lines, elevated places, Minister Ava Muhammad with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House Museum.
Yes, yes, yes. The through line is, you know, when there's so many through lines. One, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I don't know if you all recall, at the Business Believers meeting that we had in September, I think it was September 7th or September 9th, he said that he would hope that we would put a picture of Sister Ava in the house. And, you know, my immediate thought was, I have to do better than a picture. And so the idea now has, I've just been praying on, you know, what that exhibit or how we will exhibit her along with the other mothers of the faithful. One of the things that is a through line that ties in with this is this process and me being a woman over this process and owner of the property has defied a lot of myths that are out there about us as Muslim followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I get questions like, oh, y'all get to do stuff like that? Y'all get to be in business? Y'all get to do important stuff? And so it really has driven me to study and to show the world who comes to the museum the important work that women have done in the building and the development of the Nation of Islam, you know, including our wonderful Mother Clara Muhammad, who ran the nation at one point in time. So showing the world that we're not just saying that, you know, 75% of the work is with the woman. We are demonstrating that, and we are that. And so Sister Ava and that request to put a picture of her in there, and when I thought about all that she's done during this dispensation, I realized that the inspiration that I had to show the Muslim woman was, again, another message, you know, from Allah and wanting to just show us and who we are, and not just who we are, but the impact that we have had in building this entire nation, and how we are the fulfillment of the scriptures of those women who were written out and written down in the Bible. And so we get a chance to showcase that.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. You know, and might I add, and while birthing our babies and taking care of our families.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you
That's
bring,
part
you
of
know,
it, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And even as I expressed a little shock and a little awe, the reality is everyone does not know. We have so many more needs on the planet to make them
so
aware
many people
of them.
Don't know.
So it's not far-fetched, even in this day and time. I'm going to ask a question before we get to the callers, but I want to make a mention Sister Donna, you bring to mind one of our recent cover stories, A New Mind, A New Woman, A New World, in the Final Call newspaper. Mm-hmm. And this is coming out of, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's meeting with the MGT Vanguard. And in Sister Anissa Muhammad's, Sister Anissa Muhammad's article, I'm going to mention in a minute. In my article, by Allah's grace, the student national correspondent, Striving to Become Reflections of God, you know, we talk about how in a world that is so contrary to decency, righteousness, and in a world that portrays the original black woman in such a negative light, the class of all classes, the national MGT and GCC Vanguard showed and proved why what is offered through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is so necessary and needed. And these are the young women. This is the movement of young Muslim women. And they flocked. He called, and they answered. And, you know, this is a testament to this divine man, this spiritual man, this pristine character, integrity. You can't, men today, they don't know how to act some in front of one woman, one young girl, much less the ones that responded, the many that responded. So you brought that to mind. And in Sister Anissa's article, she speaks about the introduction to the world of these these feminine warrior followers, and all impacted by Student Minister Ava Muhammad. Sister Betsy Jean Muhammad, you mentioned her. You know, we went to the forum, and she is, I don't even want to talk about or try to put a title to her role there, because she's critical there at the Michigan Forum. Mm-hmm. So let me ask Sister Donna's question. Do you want to comment on that?
Can I say something? Yes. Because we always talk about, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Jesus in our midst, and we know that to be true. And so when you think about Jesus and the women who were around Jesus and how important and pivotal they were to the movement at that time. But what is so beautiful about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And what's so beautiful about the women is that because of our love for him, we come to him in a certain energy and a certain spirit, and it allows him to cast out demons.
Yes.
And so when you talk to him, you sit in his presence, he just reaches in and snatches it out. And if you allow him, he's just snatching and cleaning and snatching and correcting and shaping with his words, not just his words, but he brings an atmosphere with him that changes the dynamic of the woman. And why the woman? Because us being the second self of God, and because God had to go into his self to get us and make us, we love him in a way that only we can love him. And so through that love being a conduit, if you will, he can then do what they said in the Bible, but they said it in such a mocking type of way. He's always casting out demons, demons of doubt, demons of indecency, demons of immorality, demons of unworthiness, all kinds of demons. He casts them out every time he sees us, and then he plants the seed so they continue to be cast out even when he's no longer in our presence.
I'm like Sister Donna. I just fainted on that one. She just fainted again. Oh, my. She texted me because I have a question for you. Sisters, I just thank you so much. Perfect illustration. I could see, not just hear your words. I feel them, and I could just see if the real was playing in front of me. In fact, it is. I'm one of those undergoing that transformation by Allah's grace and mercy. We're going to be going to the phone lines in a minute, but Sister Donna Muhammad, our producer, would like to know. She said, I'm fascinated to hear about the MOE Roku channel and how it came about. And I suspect you're going to, I anticipate having some other questions about that because, but that's just, that's the question.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
yes,
you are. I'm going between student guest host and student here. Go ahead. I'm fascinated
yes,
too.
Ma'am. So in 2009, my father made his transition, and I always wanted to be a business person. I always wanted to be a mogul. I would pretend like I was going to my office when I went to school. I carried a briefcase in high school and college, and everybody else had a backpack.
I know someone like that.
That was me. My father used to call me his little mogul, and my mother would bring home business reports, Kiplinger financial reports and business reports for me. And so in 2009, when my mother called me and told me that he had made this transition, I knew my life was about to change, and I knew that it was in the area of business. And as I started to embark upon working to open my own business, as I started to go through certain challenges, I realized that my challenge wasn't technical, because I was always smart when it came to the technical stuff. I can write programs. I can do quantitative analysis. I can do policies and procedures. I can build a business in 15, 20 minutes. I can analyze a business. I can read an industry. That's what I do. But what was holding me back? It was my mind. So I didn't have the mind of an entrepreneur. Even though I knew all of these things in 2009, I knew the messenger said, do for self. I had spent all this time in the National Secretary's office and working and talking about business development, but what was holding me back was my mind. So my emotional intelligence, I needed mental strategies. So all the things that you see me talk about on the podcast. So in 2009, I started out right here on Blog Talk Radio with a podcast. I went from that podcast to then syndicated radio when I moved to D.C. I was on that, and then I started building the platforms when I moved back to Chicago when I no longer was on the radio in D.C. I started building the platform, the YouTube channel. I wrote a book, mm-hmm. The Mind of an Entrepreneur. I started adding. I have so much content. A lot just poured into me, and every week since 2009, I've written a show on business and mental strategies every single week. So I just started to distribute that content and put it in different spaces. And when the opportunity came to have a Roku channel, it was timely because one of the things I've been working on is developing an actual television show where myself and the team actually goes out and into businesses and invites people in to have these conversations and talk about business and building business development and doing for self, and we tape it. And so when I thought about doing the Roku channel, it came along the same line as I was working to build a model for the network of broadcasts that will come from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House as well. So this is the wave of the future. Allah put me on that track back in 2009, and I used to get on that blog talk, and sometimes it'd be one person listening. Sometimes nobody else would be on there. But I can't tell you how much business I've gotten from following that messaging, that calling, if you will, and how many opportunities and how many people I've met as a result of really doing and building this Mind of an Entrepreneur network. So Mind of an Entrepreneur, or MO today, is just Mind of an Entrepreneur today. And so the channel, you can go and add it. If you have Roku, and if you've purchased a TV in the last couple of years, they all have Roku TV. All you have to do is just add Mind of an Entrepreneur show to the Roku channel lineup, and we'll continue to bring content. And inshallah, when we get up out of these blizzards and all of this stuff, we'll be in a position where you'll see like a taped television show where we'll actually be working with people to develop and expand their businesses. The Mo Today brand has also created the Black Muslim Business Directory, which is a ecosystem that I'm working to help build so that we can buy Black Muslim first. Not buy Black, but we want to buy Black Muslim first and create an ecosystem so that we have these interdependencies of business, and eventually we'll be in a position where we're just helping people to understand how to do business. Because what happens with so many of us, Sister Charlene, we learn business from people who are predators or people that are pimps or people who are hustlers, because we don't know the science of business. So we just look at the most successful person or the most accessible person, and that's how we learn how to do business. But, you know, in the brand, we study the accomplishments of the Muslim. We have a manifestation series and teaching people how to materialize their ideas and their thoughts. And so that's that whole brand of services, just to help do my part to support the economic development in this phase of the Nation of Islam that I believe we're moving into.
All praises due to Allah. What a gift and a blessing you are. And it's all so beautifully laid out. Congratulations. Congratulations.
All praises to Allah. Thank you.
All praises due to Allah for you. Oh, my God, Elevated Places. I'm so full right now. We're just in the first hour. Let's go to the phone lines. Let me not keep you to myself. Okay, so Brother Daryl, we're going to take the first call from Brother Daryl. Thank you for tuning in to Elevated Places. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
As-salamu alaykum, family. Happy Savior's Day.
Wa-alaikum-salam. Happy Savior's Day to you as well.
Yes, I've been listening to the show. I've been going on ever since the show been on, that I have got familiar with it. And matter of fact, I was trying to get information to our beloved sister Ava before she transitioned, that so much talent in my family. My mother transitioned 2 years ago as well. and we have all kind of drawing. My mother's a designer. Been trying to get in touch with someone in the nation. Also, I'm sitting on 2.5 acres. I was listening to Sister Sam, you know, for entrepreneur. We have so much skills, but we are trying to get it through, like say we want to go through our nation first, you know, then go abroad, because my mother has so much to give and offer. And I was trying to see how can we go about it. And my loved one through our family as well, that we just heard that we lost one of our brothers. And that came across our spread from Pensacola. I'm here in Detroit now. And I said, I'm so close to the minister in Chicago, and I'm trying to see how can I go about it. And I left my number several times, and I'm just trying to see what can we offer to the nation so that we could build and started doing for self. And I'm listening to what the sister saying about how she was being held back by, you know, her thoughts and not being able to put it out there. So I'm trying to find out how can we go about getting some information out. And also I had so many visions that I tried to speak to one of the brothers to get this information to the minister about himself, the minister, Master Farah Muhammad. And I said, you know, there's a few things that I would mention that I actually was walking with Master Farah Muhammad himself. And I know we have some blessings because our name was given to our family out of the 25,000 names. And I've just been trying to see how can we touch base, because I'm sitting on 2.5 acres already, and I'm trying to see if a believer or someone would like to get it, because I'm lost my sight doing surgery 9 years ago, and I'm trying to come back to Detroit. And also I heard the sister speaking about the home that they're renovating of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Is that home is in the nation, or I heard that is someone bought it, or is it still the home that they're speaking about renovating? Is that in Hamtramck in Michigan? So I'd just like to get some clarity on it, because I heard they were selling corns off the gutters or whatever they was putting together, and I also wanted to try to get one of the silver gold pieces or whatever that they are using to make the gold corns with.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Darryl. Before we go to Sister Wendy to comment, Sister Donna will also be reaching out to you on some of what you are trying to do. But Sister Wendy, Sister Sajda, yes. Wendy, pardon me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's okay. So, Brother, I'm sorry for your losses, and may Allah be pleased with your family members. And thank you for your thoughts and your generosity. So the home, I'll answer that part of the question first. The home is at 4847 South Woodlawn Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. And so that is the home that I purchased. It's the former home of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where he lived there from somewhere around 1952 until 1972, before he moved to the home next door that was built by him at 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue. So the coins are actually copper, and you can go to the website, which is sajdahouse.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's sajdahouse.com. You can purchase the coin right offline there. And so, yes, we're developing the house into a house museum, a living museum, where, inshallah, people will be able to come and visit and learn more. The goal is to uplift the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name and to enshrine his star student there with him in the house. So you will come there and, inshallah, have what I'm calling the Honorable Elijah Muhammad experience.
Praise be to Allah. Now, yeah. I have it in my sight, and I have no one here to write it down. If I could give an email, and that information can be sent, and also other information could be sent, that I could try to get some of my mother's drawing. And so much talent in our family. My mother was touched by Master Farah Muhammad when we were given our names, and she was a baby. And I just have, I want to share with the minister before he depart, or also with someone in the family. I'm pretty familiar with the Supreme Captain, but it's hard to get in touch with someone there to share this knowledge that I want to offer, you know, to the nation. But I also know the minister said, I know from here where I am in Detroit that the messenger had a home in Hamtramck. That's why I was confused. Well, I thought they were talking about their house in Hamtramck, but somebody did purchase it, the one in Hamtramck, Michigan. So if I could get some information.
Will Charlene, will Sister Donna be able to take his information and then also give him the website?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Brother Darryl, do not hang up. Just go on mute, and Sister Donna will dialogue with you and help facilitate all of that for you.
It's
going to
be
so
hard
much.
For me to go on mute because I'm blind, but I could try to just hold.
Is it feasible to hang up and call back? She's going to call you, Brother Darryl.
Yeah, she
you
has
can go ahead and disconnect.
Yeah, she's going to call you. And then I call back that way. You see that I'm back on. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you, brother. Praise be to Allah. Let's go, Brother Darryl. Okay. Let's go to Brother Hoyle. Brother Hoyle, thank you. It's Brother Hoyle.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Assalamu alaikum, Sister
Roger.
Yeah, I saw my sister up there with Brother Abdul Halim. I was the brother. I was telling you, the fishing brother. I saw
Yes,
ma'am. I got my coin sitting right next to me right here.
Oh,
and,
praise be to Allah. Make sure you take a picture and tag us on social media.
Yeah, I sure will. I got it in my hand right here. And, sister, I want to give you a saying. You were talking about the sisters. And you were talking about Sister Ava, and this is by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This may be something you might want to use, and this is one of his sayings. He says, by nature, the woman has a big job. She is the one who increases the nation. And I thought about that when you all were talking about the woman and how important the woman is, you know. So one of the sayings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But this is a beautiful show. You know, you were talking about the house and how historic it was, and I'm just looking at the history of all the people who came in that house. Dr. Martin Luther King, Coretta Scott King, Mother Tynetta, Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, Senator Adam Clayton Powell, comedian activist Dick Gregory, James Baldwin, Muhammad Ali, Wilma Rudolph, Malcolm X, Mother Evelyn Muhammad, James Brown, Sam Cooke, Kwame Ture, Ralph Abernathy, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Mother Khadijah, Che Guevara, members of the 1968 convention and host of international representatives, business leaders, and many other iconic members in our community. And I remember on one show you were talking about how this house, give the history of the house and how it used to be, was it a Masonic house of business leaders in Chicago?
You mean before? Yes.
Yeah,
the house was originally built by famed architects Frost and Granger. They are responsible for building train stations like Union Station and stuff like that. They built the house or designed the house for William French Burroughs and his wife, Louisa Libby. Louisa Libby was an heir to the Libby's Food Company. And Mr. Burroughs at that time was the president, and they took the Libby's Food brand and expanded it. He also was a Mason, and he was one of the leaders of the Masons. And so the business leaders and business developers would come to that house and meet with him every week. And so when his wife worked with Frost and Granger to design the home, she wanted it to be a spiritual place so that they could have good luck and lots of spiritual energy to build their nation, if you will. And so that's why you have all the different types of wood in there. Wood has different metaphysical and healing qualities and and that kind of stuff. We talked about that when you all came. Also, there's lots of limestone. There's copper, mm-hmm. which is a conduit. So the design and the character in the house, it was created to be productive for those groups that met there. And so they met there every week. There were lots of very important people in the building and development of industry in Chicago that met in that house from the time it was built 120 years ago. The Hoovers lived next door. You had the Goodyears on the next block. You had
wow.
the Roebucks and the Robies, who were the distributors of the sewing machine. You had Oscar
here,
and Meyer.
Wow.
I'm sorry? Yes.
I was saying,
Montgomery
wow.
Ward. Yes, Montgomery Ward. Just about all the meat packers, because he was a meat canner. And then once he expanded the Libby's Food brand, they were big into canning. So a lot of the breweries and the other meat packers from all over the country, they met there and met with him in that house. And then obviously the Messenger purchases the home in 1952. The Burroughs were no longer there, but I find it quite interesting that here this house, then we build a nation from this home.
Right. And I'll also say the necklace is beautiful. The necklace and the coin. I have the coin has its own authentic number on it. And maybe in the future, you were talking about maybe with this new metaverse, maybe come out with an NFT with this coin. You know, I don't know how that goes. I don't know. Yeah, maybe in the future, inshallah. But
that's the idea, brother. You got it.
And,
wow.
You know, we
can
have
you picture the
big,
necklace, Brother Hoyle?
Ma'am?
I said, oh, I want to see the necklace.
It was
the
sister with Sister Sadia I saw at the house. They were about to leave, and she had that necklace on. And
I
have the actual coin. I have the actual coin, and inshallah, I want to get that necklace because it's nice. And I saw the sister
wow.
with the necklace on. And and inshallah, I can't wait, sister, when you start having the tours and
yes,
get it to specific order. And it's going to be beautiful. And you were talking about you were, when we were up there that you were going to have, like, holograms. When
mm-hmm.
you're doing it, it's
mm-hmm.
going to be – yeah, right. If you go in each room and it's like you –
Yeah, so we have some 3D projectors that will
mm-hmm.
project some of the different images, that historical images. We also have where the hologram and stuff will be in the theater, like an augmented reality theater room. And we do have one
mm-hmm.
hologram that will be inside the house that's right there in the foyer. So. Yes, we're working on that. We are working on creating our own metaverse. So there's not just one metaverse, but we can create our own metaverse. What's his
mm-hmm.
name, Mark Zuckerberg, he was very, very smart to name his company Meta and the metaverse, because
right.
it makes people think that there's just one metaverse. But there can be many metaverses, you know. So we're working to have our own metaverse where we'll map out the house. Those who want to tour the house, if they can't make it to Chicago physically, inshallah, will be able to log on to their computer, tour the house, you know, click certain buttons where they'll be able to hear recordings and participate in live events and things like that. So we'll be able to expand the reach of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House beyond just those who can physically come there. And one of the things we're working to do is we're working to figure out what kinds of special presentations we're going to do during Savior's Day. People are going to have a coin in order to be able to participate, because we're not going to be able to reach everybody. But if you're in our coin database, you'll be
right.
able to get that invitation.
Praise be to Allah.
This is
well, sister, you're doing an excellent
beautiful.
Job on your on your page and your I've seen your page, your coffee talk in the morning, and you keep
yes,
up
sir.
The good work. And any way I can support, and I saw the house, Sister Charlene, they've done it excellent. That house is off the chain, and it's beautiful. So you keep up with me, a lot bless you.
Too,
so you're doing a divine work, and you say you're metaphysical. Messenger chose you to do it, so there's no spook in it. He's real. He's a living God. So
yes,
you know, I mean,
he
knows who's to I don't want to say this. He knows who to choose. You know, so
yes.
You know, you're the right one
yes,
for
sir.
It. May Allah bless you, and Charlene, keep up
thank
the good
you,
work.
Sir.
All
praises be to Allah. Inshallah. Walaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Hoyle. We have a few questions that came in through checks, but I must ask this one since we're speaking about this important museum. What is, in addition to all of the great and obvious reasons you have stated already, would you like to add anything about why it is important that we support this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House Museum, the Sajda House, the commemorative coin?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's important, sis, not only because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to. It's important because, well, I'll use myself. I love him. And I've seen him give his life to the upliftment of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to uplift his name. And it warms his heart just to see people uplifting his teacher and his father's name.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of that upliftment. It's his home. It's a museum. It's people who still to this day don't know him. Or even better yet, Sister Charlene, people who only know the media propaganda about this great man. And so they have an opportunity to come there and to experience him and understand why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would dedicate his life to uplifting and rebuilding now this great man's work, this great God's work. The house is sacred.
Yes.
And the minister told me that I was right to call it sacred because it became sacred when a God decided to move in.
Yes, ma'am.
So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad deserves to be uplifted. He deserves for his story to be told. It's time for us as Black people to begin to tell our own story, to control the narrative. Me personally, I'm sick of the same old things over and over again, the same old lies over and over again about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's just not true. It's time for us to show the world that it's not true. Give them a space where they can be comfortable, they can feel safe, and come on in and learn and experience. Because these teachings are life-giving, and they really and truly are the key to our resurrection and to our development as a people. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you follow. If you don't attach and tie in and hook in to the life-giving teachings given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. And so, and I know that's heavy, but it's important. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to go a little lighter, it's our history. And so much of our history as Black people, especially our history in urban centers around the country where so many of our iconic figures lived when we were redlined during the Great Migration, that history is all but about to become extinct. Why? Because of regentrification. So as the houses are being torn down, people are forgetting about all the great work of all these people. Most people have no idea about the Chicago Renaissance and all the great people that lived here that impacted our history So it's important that we also preserve properties that are critical to the history of underserved communities. Because if we're not careful and we don't support projects like this, then our history from that period of 1915 to about 1975 or so will be all but written out, because the properties will be gone. That history during that time happened on everyday blocks, on everyday corners, in everyday cities, all throughout America. And those everyday experiences are being erased. And so we want to be the vanguard in this space of urban historic preservation, so that when people see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad House Museum, also known as Sajda House, and they see an edifice that was independently restored and reacquired. This is why I haven't gone out and said, you know, okay, let me get this grant, let me find this benefactor, because the people that he dedicated his life to, in my opinion, should help support the completion of it. I've done most of the heavy lifting. We only got about 15% left. And I'm not just asking for money. We got sponsorship packages and we got coins. We can sell enough of these coins to get the house done. But freedom ain't free, and we have to understand that freedom is not free. So we can't just drive past the house and go, that's where the messenger used to live. The nation used to own that. Because guess what? Pretty soon you won't be able to drive by it, because you won't be able to recognize it, because it'll either be torn down or people who don't care about it will alter it. And that was also part of my reason for jumping in and saying, we have to preserve this sacred space.
Thank you.
It's critical.
Thank you, sister.
So go to SajdaHouse.com and download your coin. Give them away as gifts. They make great gifts for Savior's Day, for Kwanzaa, for Christmas. You don't have to be a Muslim. You can be a Christian. Because let me tell you something. Through the development of this house, I understand the teachings of Jesus so much more. I can hear a gospel song and I understand exactly who they talking about.
That's right.
My mother said to me, she said, it's one thing to know Jesus, but it's another thing for Jesus to know your name.
Oh, stop the phone. My phone fell. Hold on. Oh my God. Would you please say that again? Thank your mother for that. I just want to hear that
it's
again.
It's one thing to know Jesus. One thing to know Jesus, but it's another thing for Jesus to know your name.
Lord, Lord.
Jesus knows our name today. And it's our job to make sure that he knows others' names and to uplift him. So let's get these coins. Let's build this space. And honor him.
Yes, please. We refuse to pass by and see it as a dog park, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As we do with many properties. Sister, how eloquently stated. All right, let me, praise be to Allah. I cannot wait to get my coin. I look forward to my coin. I look forward to going there.
Praise be to Allah.
A question. I have this. Look, let me, where am I, the guest host or the student?
Let me be very serious. John, just take the agenda.
Separation and economic development. Let's talk about, would you talk about why these are not different? This is not something that's disconnected from the separation by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan.
I dropped my phone. Could you hold on 1 second? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I do. Pardon my clumsiness. I do need to let you all know my headset went out, and so now you have me on speaker, and so I hope it's coming in clearly.
But I wanted to your point, to your very right words, mention something from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad before I go on to that question, which I'll ask more eloquently. But you stated if we wanted to think about it in a lighter way. But I kind of just want to go back to the, if you would, what's a heavier weight that's really critical. Words from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 1964 Laborers Meeting himself, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. He said, quote, "We have been all but universally attacked. The hound wants me most of all, and you must arm yourself with the truth, with truth from scriptures, standpoint to prove my position. If you don't come out first and attack the enemy that attacks me, if you sit down and wait until I attack, then you are not much of a help. I'm just telling you frankly, time that your leader is attacked, you is attacked. And you should go after the attacker with everything you have, you know, of truth." I want to say that again because I want to put the right inference there. "And you should go after the attacker with everything you have, you know, of truth to defend yourself and your leader." That rose up in me when you were speaking, Sister Sasha.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to emphasize that. But the question of the connection, not the disconnect between this and separation.
So, sis, you know, we're a nation. And I think sometimes we forget the universality and the size of a nation and the impact of calling us, of naming us a nation. We're a nation. And a nation is sovereign. It has its own resources. It works and interacts with other nations. It has other, it has numerous projects. It's multifactorial. And so when you start talking about separation, separation is not a side project. Separation is part of the instructions given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If we eat one meal a day, then we should be thinking about separation too. If we can't just say, oh, yeah, I eat one meal a day and I fast, but that separation stuff, that economic development stuff, doing for self, I don't know about that. Well, then you're not really being comprehensive as a believer. And you know, that's not to offend anyone, but we have to embrace all of the teachings. See, until we separate, we're never going to really be able to work on ourselves because no one's going to give us anything. We're not going to get it from the political climate. We're not going to get it from the traditional means, the grants and all that stuff, welfare. There's conditions that come with those kinds of things. So this house, even in essence, when you start thinking about all other black museums, is separate. There's a separation because we don't want to be subjected to the rules and regulations of those who could potentially control our purse strings if we took money from them. So is it separate? No, it's not. It's part of the overall movement. Separation, doing for self, economic development, belief in one God. It's all part of it.
Yes.
Accepting your own and being yourself. See, when he told us who we were, he lined us up because Master Prophet Muhammad said, I'm going to give you your inheritance. Well, you got to know where you're getting the inheritance from and who you belong to, who's your father. That's where you're going to inherit it from. So part of that inheritance is following these instructions. So if you inherit money or resources from a parent, they may say, well, you got to wait till you're 18. Or they may say, you got to graduate from college, or they may give you some conditions that you got to abide by before you can step into that inheritance. And so all of these instructions are part of the conditions and part of the preparation for our inheritance. So Sister Ava's separation project ain't a side project. It's a very critical aspect of our preparation, our blessing, and our inheritance. You talked about economic development. Same thing. Until we can own and monetize ourselves, we'll never be free.
Never.
Someone will always control us. If they feed, clothe us, and give us shelter, and we don't own anything, well, we're always going to be controlled. So it's not a side project. It's stuff that we should do, and the nation is big. And so we have a number of different initiatives. And let me say this about the money, and because we have to get our money psychology and our relationship with money together, okay? Mm. Money is just resources that give you choices. So if you have money, you can have a choice on what doctor you go to. You don't have to go to the same to the doctor that your state insurance tells you to go to. If you have choices, if you have money, you have choices on how to educate your children. You can say, okay, do I send them to a private school? Do I send them to Muhammad University? Do I send them to a boot camp? Do I send them to public? You got choices. Choices on where you live. We don't take a vow of poverty. It takes money. In this market-based economy that we live in, it takes money to survive. So we can't be hypocritical about money. Some of us go to work all day long, but yet we say we hate money. Well, why are you going to work then if you hate money? So we have to get over this negative relationship that we have money that was given to us by a slave master who dangled money in front of us like it was a carrot. There's enough money out here, even in the midst of this recession, inflation, stagnation, whatever they're calling it, we can still make money. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did it. He showed us by example in the midst of a time where there was 20% interest rate. He built an almost $100 million empire. He's already laid the blueprint. He's already showed us. What's holding us back? It's our mind. It's how we think, this involuntary vow of poverty. So we don't make money our God. Money is given to us so that we can move out and be God.
That's right.
It's not the end-all, be-all. It's just paper that we need to get what we want and to be able to free our people and help people and give us our choices. So some of us complain and say, okay, man, okay, now it's a coin. Now it's a charity. Now it's saving their gift. Now it's this. Now it's that. But guess what? It's expensive to be a Muslim. It's expensive to – listen to me. It's expensive to be a conscious person in this world. It's much cheaper to – pull up in the drive-thru of your favorite fast food restaurant and eat off the dollar menu than it is for you to go shop organic, get you some halal food, kosher food. It used to be cheaper. It used to be able to get you a bowl of bean soup and it wouldn't cost that much. But now the organic beans cost money. The organic stuff you got to put in the beans cost money. Now let's talk about dressing. What about your clothes? We run around here in custom clothes. It's a lot cheaper to go down to the little store and get you a mini skirt and a tube top. But it costs money. We got to make clothes. We got to buy fabric. We wear custom items, things that are modest. And if you don't get them made, then you're shopping in stores where the clothes are already, covering and gonna be modest. It costs money. This is just so. Why would Allah tell us to do these things and it costs money that we don't have or we can't get? So we got to get over that. So I always say to people, it don't matter to me what the devil is charging for gas. As long as my God blesses me to get it and I can fill up my tank, then I don't care what it costs. And I don't mean to sound crazy, but that's just where my faith is. I don't care if I go to the gas station and they say, you got to bring 5 bushels of apple to to fill up your tank. As long as I got 5 bushels of apple from my God, by the grace of Allah, I believe he will give it to me, then I'm going down there with my apples and fill up my tank.
That's right. Sister, you're teaching hard. I love it. You know, what you believe is your thing. You are absolutely right. I've been reciting this, and I want to repeat it here. The Honorable Minister Lewis, same thing. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Table Talks on page 162 says in the dialogue, he will lead you by your hand of your mind if you are a good believer to the solution of your problem. Right? You know, sister, you really
Sister
have
Charlene, me. Right in elevated places, I think it's 7 and I think it's 10, maybe, don't quote me, but I think it's 10. I think he said, and certainly we established you in the earth and made in it means of livelihood for you.
Mm.
Little thanks you give.
Mm.
He said he established us. All throughout the Quran, he's talking about how he established him on the throne of power. But when you establish something, to establish, that means you set it up on a firm or permanent basis.
Right.
It means
right.
You achieve what? Permanent acceptance or recognition. When you achieve something, what's achieved? Successfully being able to reach something.
Yes.
Successfully
yes.
being
oh.
about it or reaching it. That's how you achieve, how you successfully get to it. So he's telling us he's going to establish us in the earth. He didn't say going to. He said, and certainly we establish you in the earth. And
that's
made
right.
in it means of livelihood for you, little it is that you give thanks. The minister told us, I think that was at the criterion. We have to learn how to go back to nature.
Yeah.
Nature, yeah, go into the dirt, but also go back to nature. Go back to Allah and ask Allah specific questions about what you want and believe and get up and work for it.
That's right.
Because the
devil's
going to continue to attach a price to being a Muslim. We just got to make sure we can pay it.
Sister Donna has alerted me. We have another call out. Sister,
yes.
You by
I'm sorry. Let me be quiet. Y'all
no,
got
no.
me turned into the church lady on here.
Well, help yourself. So you by higher. She's electrifying. Because as we get ready to take Sister Anissa Muhammad's call out of Los Angeles, California, money, good homes, friendships, and all walks of life, he promised. But he's
yes.
not a spook God. And so how is that going to, you know, take place? You don't have a business. You don't have something that you're doing. You're working. I mean, of course, he can also just grant that to you. But at the end of the day, there, as you were saying earlier, there is something that must be done. We must do something. You know, we cannot be lazy, cannot be blind and foolish followers. We have to leave something, we have to prepare something. So, Sister Saja, thank you for that. Let's take Sister Anissa Muhammad's call, and hopefully we'll be able to get to one or two after that. I have 2 text questions. Go ahead, Sister Anissa.
Wa alaikum salam, and happy Savior's Day, Sister Charlene, Sister Donna, and Sister Saja. You are so fired up, and you got me over here living on your metaphysical world right
this
now. And
you.
I mean, love. I am so charged up, and I have been since the beginning of this project, and I so believe it, and I am honored to be an experienced rep for the Elijah House Museum and the coin pendant sales, and I'm just so fired up. And sis, you a frustrated preacher, I just had to say it, but I just feel so honored that you sharing this type of fruit with us, because it is something that we need so much to repair that relationship that we have with money. Because as a rep, I didn't have a coin at first, and I said, how on God's green earth can I actually say that I'm a rep and I don't have this pendant? I want the listeners to hear me. I didn't have the money when I bought that pendant, but I bought it anyway. And you know what? Allah gave me back that money and then some in 48 hours. So I just wanted to share that. Sister Sasha, I love you. And we are going to work hard to make our bond, to make this project a success. And I just want to read two verses from Surah number 61, verses 10 and 11. It says, O you who believe, shall I lead you to a merchandise which will deliver you from a painful chastisement? You should believe in Allah and his messenger and strive hard in Allah's way with your wealth and your lives. That is better for you, did you but know? Mm-hmm. All praises to Allah. Almost said hallelujah, but I have to remember that. We ain't in church today, Sister Sasha, but all praises to
you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'll say it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Lisa. Look, we may praise him. Praise, all praises due to Allah. Thank you, Sister Anissa, for that. Another question. What advice would you give to young black women wanting to start their own businesses? This comes from Mecca Muhammad, who just actually graduated from Grambling with her master. She and her mother, Tyra Muhammad, graduated together. That's a phenomenal family.
Oh,
but just to make a
congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. What advice would you give to young black women wanting to start their own business?
So two things just came to mind. One, in terms of trying to figure out what you want to start your business in doing. And with that, you want to start doing some studying. I study all kinds of businesses. If I'm driving down the street, I pretty much almost memorize every business. I can tell you what's over there, what they make, what they do. So begin to be alert and pay attention and study and watch business people. And then you can begin to see what it is that you like and what it is that you want to do. You may not be able to start out owning your own business. And let me make that very clear, because a lot of times you can't just jump out there. You need to go and work for somebody else. You need to go and learn. You need to get some training. Sometimes you learn what to do, and then sometimes you learn what not to do. So getting some training, getting some education, but making sure that you seek guidance with that. So go and study. Get a job. If you say, you know what, I think I want to open a restaurant, then get a job in a restaurant so that you know and you learn and you can reduce down that learning curve and actually figure out how to really do business and not just be faking it. Because I'm going to tell you something. In this world of business, this market-based, predatory, capitalist world, that exists for many of us, people see you coming when they know you don't know what you're doing. So you want to make sure that you get you some experience in the field of endeavor that you're interested in. Partner yourself up with somebody who's like-minded, who's already in the field. You can get a mentor. You can do an internship. A lot of times you figure out what you want to do by seeing what you don't want to do. That's real. I had internships, and I said, oh, no, okay, I know I don't want to do this. Because my degree was in finance and accounting, and so that's a broad spectrum. And I realized through going to different businesses and working in different places and getting internships and shadowing people, shadowing is a very it's an amazing thing to do. Be someone's assistant.
Right.
See, if you can be an assistant to the CEO, if you can be of service to someone who is in an industry that you want to be in, that's also another great way to start your business. Now, once you're ready to start your business, Now you start figuring out, how do I put it together? How do I build so that I can start making money and flipping it and reinvesting in the business and building and building and expanding and expanding? But build your knowledge base first. That would be my number one advice.
Thank you. You heard it from the expert, the pro, the mogul.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Would you take about 30 seconds to 1 minute for an added closing remark, and then I'll make announcements, and we're going to go on and get out of here.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to thank you, Sister Charlene and Sister Donna, for inviting me on this platform. I thank our sister, Sister Ava Muhammad. May Allah forever be pleased with her, for building this platform and for pouring into beautiful sisters like yourself. I told you all on the phone the other day that I can just hear the beauty in you and the love in you. And I know that our sister really pulled that out of you and cultivated that in you. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful to be able to spend this time with you. I would ask, give y'all some instructions. Go on out to and like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's the Sagittarius Wendy Muhammad YouTube channel. You can binge on all those shows. You can also add us to your Roku TV lineup, which is the Mind of an Entrepreneur show, to your Roku TV lineup. Follow us on Instagram at Sagittarius House. I have another Instagram page, but follow us at Sagittarius House. That gives you all things happening with Sagittarius House. You can see before and after pictures, but please go out and get your commemorative Elijah coin. Go to sagittariushouse.com. If you forget that, go to Instagram, click the link in the bio, and all of it's there where you can purchase your coin. It's time for us to own and monetize our own story. I'm tired of seeing movies and all this stuff of the Nation of Islam on television that we did not write and we did not produce. It's time. It's our turn. So let's step up into our elevated place.
Ooh, well stated, Sister Sasha. Thank you so much for being our guest. And remember, MinisterAva.com for her books, her lectures, her e-books, and also there's some specials running there. Thank you, Sister Donna Muhammad, our producer, and thank you, Brother Darius Muhammad, executive producer, who they invited me to, Sister. For Elevated Places, I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad saying peace. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I've been around, but now I'm